The Democratic-led House has passed a $1.7 trillion government spending bill to finance federal agencies through September. It passed by a vote of 225 to 201. In the Senate, leaders from both parties supported the measure. Senator Chris Murphy says the bill includes $236 million for community-based projects in Connecticut.
This has been the most productive year of any year that I've been in public service. More big stuff that matters to people, that improves people's lives, got passed this year than any year that I've been in government before. And this budget, which invests billions of dollars in Connecticut, is going to help people, it's going to save lives over the course of this winter, especially. Is the capstone on a pretty remarkable year.
The package also included a $1 billion amendment to fund the World Trade Center Health Program, which provides long-lasting treatment for thousands of first responders and survivors of the 9/11 terror attacks. We have made it to Friday. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Thousands of people in our region lost power in last night's storm. Long Island has seen some of the worst flooding in a decade, and the National Guard came up about 9,000 troops short of its recruitment goal. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Tens of thousands of electricity customers in Connecticut lost power in the wake of last night's storm. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Most of the outages are in areas serviced by the state's largest electric utility, Eversource. Mitch Gross is a spokesperson for the company. He says it's a very busy weekend for the line crews and tree crews restoring power to affected customers.
There are still dozens and dozens of blocked roads and instances of trees taking down lines, and this is across the state. Now, the crews will stay on their jobs as long as it takes, but this restoration work is going to take some time. Customers should understand this.
Gross says almost every community serviced by Eversource in Connecticut was affected by power outages. The company provides electricity to 149 of Connecticut's 169 cities and towns. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Widespread flooding was reported across Long Island this morning, WSHU's Charles Lane reports.
Western Long Island and New York City experienced the worst of the flooding, as much as 3 feet in Howard Beach, Breezy Point, and the Rockaways. Several major highways and the Long Island Railroad's Long Beach branch were closed early this morning. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the flooding has started to go down, but not for long.
But more rain is coming there. This was not a rain flooding event. This was a coastal flooding event, which is very different.
Nassau County Police responded to 104 calls for people trapped in their cars due to the floodwaters. Weather forecasts expect the temperatures to plummet and not get above 30 degrees all weekend. Expect snow flurries and a bitter wind chill. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul has nominated a new chief judge for New York's highest court. If confirmed by the state Senate, Judge Hector LaSalle will be New York's first Latino chief judge. Karen DeWitt has more.
Hector LaSalle is presiding justice of the New York Supreme Court's second department in Brooklyn, the largest mid-level appeals court in the nation. He's of Puerto Rican heritage. His parents were born there, and he grew up on Long Island. He's the first in his family to earn a college degree and a law degree from the University of Michigan. He previously was an assistant district attorney for Suffolk County, and he worked in the state attorney general's office. Hochul, in a statement, says LaSalle has the skills, experience, and intellect to head a court that she says is viewed as a leader across the country. Progressive groups objected to the pick, saying LaSalle has a deeply conservative judicial record that includes decisions that are anti-abortion, anti-union, and anti-due process. Judicial experts have said the state's high court in recent years has leaned conservative in its decisions. Next, LaSalle goes to the state Senate for confirmation. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Brad Hoylman was one of several senators who wrote a letter to the state's Judicial Nominating Committee asking that it submit names from diverse backgrounds to a high court that they say is overrepresented by former prosecutors. But Hoylman says he will be open-minded when considering LaSalle.
This will be a high bar. And colleagues and in the Senate and I have articulated concerns previous, and those still stand.
Senate Leader Andrea Stork-Cousins in a statement was noncommittal, saying only that the Senate looks forward to discharging our constitutional responsibility to consider the governor's nomination and that they intend to do so through a serious and deliberative process. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New York was the only state in the country to meet its National Guard recruiting goal this year. That could be in part due to its musical ambassadors. That story after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
More people are turning to the railways to celebrate the holidays. An official with the Railroad Museum of New England and the Naugatuck Railroad says that cars on the line are now hauling 40,000 people a year. Museum officials say it used to be hard to fill up the partnership's Santa Express that runs out of Connecticut's Thomaston Station. Now, cars added to the ride are at least half full a day after they go on sale. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says that bipartisan funding package I mentioned earlier contains $5 billion in low-income home energy assistance funding, also known as the LEAP program. She says that money is critical with winter heating costs expected to spike in the next couple of months. She says with more than $60 million in additional federal funds for New Yorkers this year, it will help out more people who are on low incomes pay their heating bills. New York's pandemic rental relief program could close to future applicants starting as early as next month. A state Supreme Court has lifted the temporary injunction that kept the emergency rental assistance program open through 2022. That's because the $2 billion program is running out of money. Under the program, the payments, which come from state and federal funds, go directly to landlords. Tenants can't be evicted while their applications are pending. The National Guard came up about 9,000 troops short of its recruitment goal this year. That's led Guard leaders at the state and federal level to try new ways to attract recruits. Meanwhile, one state was able to hit its goal. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
This holiday season, the 42nd Infantry Division of the New York Army National Guard took its concert band on the road. They brought holiday classics to community centers across the state, including the Warrior Ranch on Long Island, where veterans and civilians train rescued horses. Staff Sergeant Pamela File plays the flute.
We're really excited about this partnership.
The performances are part outreach and part recruiting, with Guard members front and center in the communities they serve.
The band is a very forward-facing unit. We kind of look at ourselves as musical ambassadors. We like to bridge the gap between the military and our civilian population.
In part because of outreach like this, New York was the only state in the country to meet its recruitment goal for the Army National Guard this year. 31 states fell short of their Army recruiting goals by over 40%, according to the National Guard Bureau, the federal office that oversees the states. Treating every event like an opportunity is part of a strategy, according to Lieutenant Colonel Josh Heimroth. He's in charge of recruitment and retention for the New York Guard.
There's no one way of doing business. You gotta have multiple lines in the pond to catch the fish.
He says after soldier safety, the top priority is recruitment. That means large-scale efforts like job fairs and social media outreach, but also small things recruiters need that sometimes get overlooked.
That could be as little as making sure their computer is up and running, they have a fuel card and a vehicle that can get them to and from their appointments.
At a roundtable discussion in September, National Guard leaders said recruiters have had a tough year. General Daniel Hokinson is chief of the National Guard Bureau.
They have told me pretty much in every location I go just how difficult the current recruiting challenges are that they're facing. For many of them, it's unprecedented in their time as a recruiter.
There's competition from other industries and universities. He says the labor shortage doesn't help, and meeting the physical requirements to serve can be hard. Hokanson is pushing for major reforms to recruit new troops and keep the ones who are already serving. Among his ideas, year-round government-financed healthcare.
When we look at recruiting and retention, really the most important aspect of that, ability to be ready whenever we're needed, healthcare is absolutely critical.
Hokanson says out of about 440,000 guardsmen serving today, 60,000 don't have health insurance at all. But year-round health benefits would be expensive, and Congress would have to authorize it. Meanwhile, some states have undertaken their own initiatives to attract recruits. Tennessee is among several states that have set up programs to help recruits pass entrance exams. Major General Jeff Holmes is the Adjutant General of the Tennessee Guard.
We partnered with our state institutions and colleges, and so they're providing courses that you can go and take, and it helps that student learn the test again.
Holmes says Tennessee also offers health and exercise training for potential recruits who don't meet height and weight requirements.
There are certain things, red lines, that I would say that we cannot really sacrifice. However, we do have to recognize what society is providing us.
Back at the Horse Ranch on Long Island, flute player Pamela File says any time the band plays for the public, it's an opportunity to talk up the benefits of National Guard service.
We only get together 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. The rest of the time, we are civilians out in this community, so everything we do, we know can potentially bring people into our ranks.
Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
This story was produced by the American Homefront Project, a public media collaboration that reports on American military life and veterans. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Have fun, stay safe. Thanks for a great year. I'll talk to you in 2023.